This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you ever been not on the same page as someone else? Most of us have been in that situation. In fact, it can be very frustrating not to be on the same page as someone else. You see, when we're not on the same page, we can't move forward, we can't make any progress. In fact, not being on the same page can even lead to intense conflict. For example, over 600,000 Americans died during the Civil War because the North and the South were not on the same page. The news is constantly reporting about the frustration at the federal government level because Democrats and Republicans are not on the same page. Many husbands and wives, as well as parents and children, have intense conflicts because they are not on the same page. And finally, this world is messed up big time. Why? Because we and God are not on the same page. In our Lenten sermon series, we discovered that the prophet Jonah was on a different page than God. You see, Jonah hated the people of Nineveh, and to be honest, they were easy to hate. If you were to wrap up in one package Nazi Germany, Iraq, and Iran, at their worst, you would get a feel for the people of Nineveh. They were arrogant and cruel conquerors, and Jonah despised them. And so for God to tell Jonah that he was supposed to preach to Nineveh in the hope of leading them to repentance so that God could forgive them, well, that would be like telling a man whose family had been killed by terrorists to preach to them so that they could repent and be forgiven. You see, nothing would have pleased Jonah more than to see the whole city of Nineveh wiped off the face of the earth. In fact, he was hoping that the people of Nineveh would die and burn in hell forever. And so even though the people of Nineveh mattered to God, they certainly didn't matter to Jonah. Once again, the people of Nineveh were cruel and heartless. They gloated over their war victims and they enjoyed every atrocity imaginable. They would hold their victims down, they would reach into their mouths, they would pull out their tongues, they would skin their victims alive, they would even build pyramids of human skulls outside of a conquered city. Their cruelty was known throughout the world. From a human point of view, if anybody deserved to go to hell forever, it was the people of Nineveh. And so we're not surprised that Jonah hated them. He did not want them to be forgiven. They could be condemned forever as far as he was concerned. He had no desire to see the people of Nineveh turn from their sin. He wanted them to receive judgment, the judgment they so richly deserved. But you see, here's the irony. Jonah was a sinner too. In fact, what was Jonah's big sin? Jonah's big sin was his self-righteous, unforgiving heart. You see, Jonah was enraged when Nineveh repented of their sin. He was enraged when God forgave them. Isn't that ironic? Remember, God forgave Jonah all his sins, even though Jonah deserved nothing but eternity in hell. God also rescued Jonah from destruction in the raging sea. In fact, Jonah was so thankful to God for having had mercy on him. However, when the raging sea of God's anger was silenced against Nineveh because God chose to forgive them in their repentance, well, that Jonah could not accept. In fact, Jonah said to himself, "How dare God do such a thing? Forgive the undeserving." In chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, we read that Jonah actually called God's mercy for Nineveh a great evil. And yet, By calling God's forgiveness a great evil, Jonah ends up being swallowed up again. But this time he's not swallowed up by a great big fish. No, this time he's swallowed up by his own evil, ungrateful heart. What was the problem? Well, Jonah and the Lord were on a completely different page. On the one hand, Jonah self-righteously refused to forgive the people of Nineveh, even though they had repented of their sin. On the other hand, God had mercy for Christ's sake on the people of Nineveh, even though they didn't deserve it. Just as God had forgiven Jonah for Christ's sake, even though Jonah didn't deserve it. So my friends, if we want to escape the fires of hell, then we need to be on the same page as God. You see, our God longs with every fiber of his being to be merciful to sinners who don't deserve it. And how does he do that? He does that by sacrificing his own son in our place of judgment and damnation. My friends, God longs to be merciful to sinners for Christ's sake. In fact, listen again to these words from the book of Jonah. The people of Nineveh believed God. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. What happened there? My friends, the Holy Spirit worked through Jonah's preaching to put the people of Nineveh and God on the same page. You see, if we sinners are to escape the eternal hell that we deserve, we do need to be on the same page as God. That means we need to agree with God when he says that our sin deserves his eternal wrath. But it also means that we need to trust God when he says that we unworthy sinners are completely forgiven and holy in his sight because of Jesus and all that he's done for us, suffering God's wrath in our place, living a holy life for us, and conquering death for us so that we could live through faith in him in God's love forever. However, when we deny or excuse or justify our sin, then we're not on the same page as God and we are in danger of hell. When we trust false gods or supposedly our own good works in order to save us, then again we're not on the same page as God and we are in danger of hell. Therefore, God does all that he can to get us on the same page with him. In Psalm 23, King David said that God leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My friends, God does all he can to show us the way of salvation so that we can be on the same page as him. But sadly, Jonah doesn't want God to be like that. Well, that's not exactly correct. You see, Jonah does want God to be gracious and merciful and loving, but only to him and the other people that he cares about. However, Jonah does not want God to love and forgive the Ninevites. Again, Jonah wants the people in Nineveh, those terrible pagan enemies of Israel, to get what they deserve. And sadly, Jonah forgets that he also deserves nothing but eternal suffering in hell. And my friends, I'm afraid that sometimes we're like Jonah. We want God to be merciful to us. We want God to be merciful to the people we care about, but we could care less about others. In fact, sometimes we even hate others so much that we want God to damn them. And do you know what's really horrible? Sometimes we come to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's undeserved mercy, and at the same time that we're receiving the Lord's Supper, there's part of us that refuses to forgive, part of us that holds grudges, part of us that bears anger and hatred in our hearts. sometimes even against people with whom we're taking the Lord's Supper. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this should not be. Remember Paul's words in our reading from Ephesians? He says to Christians like us, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Simply put, Paul is saying that we need to be on the same page as God. So then, when we find ourselves holding grudges against other people, when we find hatred and anger in our hearts toward other people, when we foolishly rejoice in God's mercy toward us while being angry that God would have mercy on others, when we see this evil going on within us, that's when we need to repent so that we can be on the same page as God. What does it mean to be on the same page as God? First, we must agree with God that all these things are evil and sinful. We must agree with Him that our desire to hold grudges, our hatred, our anger, our lack of forgiving others, all that is evil and deserves His eternal wrath. Second, we must then believe in the salvation that God has provided for us. We must rejoice in knowing that God has forgiven even us because Jesus suffered and died for those very sins that we have committed. And my friends, now that you are God's dearly loved and forgiven children, you get to be like Him. As Paul said, be imitators of God. You know what that means? It means that when we receive Christ's body and blood at the Lord's table, we are asking God to help us to repent of our grudges, to help us repent of our hatred and anger, to help us begin to love others and forgive others as He perfectly loves and forgives us. Such a repentant and faithful prayer means that we are now on the same page as God. My friends, the devil wants to make sure that we're not on the same page as our God of love and mercy. The devil wants us to be swallowed up forever by our own self-righteous anger and hatred. Hanging on to grudges, hanging on to hatred, hanging on to anger may seem like the right thing at times. It may even feel good. But in the end, it leads nowhere but hell. Raise your hand if you saw the movie Forrest Gump. Most of you have. That movie's famous for the quote, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." But there's another line in that movie that is worth noting. This particular scene has one of the central characters, Jenny, returning to her old home after her father had died. The old farmhouse is dilapidated and abandoned. And as she reflects on the abuse, even the sexual abuse that she endured as a child from her father, she's overcome with rage and hatred and anger, and she begins throwing rock after rock after rock at the house. Finally, she falls to the ground in exhaustion. And this scene closes with Forrest Gump saying, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks." My friends, the truth is that there will never be enough rocks. You know why? Because revenge and anger and hatred simply don't work. Revenge, anger, and hatred will never set us free. In fact, revenge, anger, and hatred will simply keep us in prison. The only way out for us sinners is Jesus and the undeserved mercy that He longs to give to all sinners who repent and trust in Him. My friends, because of Jesus, you and God are on the same page. In fact, on the pages of Holy Scripture, we learn that we are all sinners who deserve nothing but hell. That's the bad news. But on those same pages of Holy Scripture, we learn that God loved us so much that He sent His Son to the cross to suffer hell for us, so that we might have complete forgiveness and eternal life as God's dearly loved children. All because of Jesus and His willingness to lay down His life for His enemies, even those people whom the devil wants us to hate. My friends, you can come to the Lord's table tonight with all your sins. You can come with your grudges, with your hatred, with your anger, and you can know that you are forgiven for Christ's sake. And you know what? That free and undeserved gift of forgiveness and mercy will begin to change your heart so that you will begin to imitate God and begin to forgive others as Christ has already completely and perfectly forgiven you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.